All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, or good evening or good morning, where you're at. This is American Vindicta along with Sinner Saved. That means today, Wednesday, February 14th, we're going to have ourselves a storm warning. We're going to get into a little bit of the politics of the day and what's going on. And Billy, let's just get straight into it, man.
Hey, Roger that. Warm greetings, friends, near and far. The Lord Jesus Christ be magnified forever and ever. His loving kindnesses, tender mercies, and compassions are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His mercy endureth forever. This is Sinner Saved coming at you with the following short evangelistic gospel message, which is sponsored by Doug Thornton of American Vindicta YouTube channel and also by Preacher Wayne Boyd and the Brothers and Sisters in Christ Jesus at First Baptist Church located in Almont, Michigan, USA. And God willing, this broadcast will reach you, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. It is my hope and prayer unto God Most High, the only Holy Father, that his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, be greatly exalted, that his everlasting gospel be clearly proclaimed, that the pride of mere flesh and blood men be humbled, and that his elect saints be greatly encouraged, cheered, and comforted in these evil and perilous times. Friends, please consider having paper and pencil handy to jot down the scriptural references throughout this broadcast for your own follow-up study. Doug has some really good scriptures for us here in a little while. And so we begin with the weekend gospel message to follow for all hands. Heads up! Please find enclosed encouragement in so great salvation by the perfect and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving poor, needy, and wretched sinners by his sovereign free grace, that is to say, Almighty God and his unmerited favor to save me and you from our sins and from hell. Now, the following scripture from Matthew 11:12 was spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and it's a very interesting message. He says, "The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." We say hunger will break through stone walls. Desperate circumstances make men violent. Thus it is with a convinced sinner. He sees himself in the city of destruction, and Moses has set his house on fire about his ears. As Brother John Bunyan says in his most outstanding book, Pilgrim's Progress, and I highly recommend you folks read it. It's intense. It's Christ-honoring. Okay, now the sinner... he cannot think of God, sin, death, judgment, heaven, and hell with indifference. No, he is awake. He sees the importance of them. His soul is alive. He feels the weight of them. He finds sin has destroyed him. The law terrifies him. Death stares him in the face. Judgment alarms him. He trembles to see hell moved from beneath to receive him. Now his fancied good works, his morality, etc., stand him in no stead. He hungers after righteousness. His apprehensions of wrath make him violent. His hunger is keen. He besieges the kingdom of God with eager prayer. He forces his way through every opposition. He breaks through every wall of obstruction with, "Oh, give me Christ, or I perish. Give me his blood to pardon me, his righteousness to justify me, or I am damned forever." This, friends, is fleeing for refuge. This is like one escaping for his life from dreadful flames and devouring fire. This is being violent. Such take the kingdom of God by force. Though by grace we are brought into the kingdom of God and enjoy pardon of sin and peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, yet the Lord forbid that we should so lose our conviction of divine truths as to have done with holy force and violence. Soldiers of Christ, to arms. What? Think of laying down your weapons of defense and folding your hands to sleep on an enemy's ground when all around are up in arms against you? Come, come, there is enough yet before you to alarm you and to call up your violence. Sin is within you. Satan is plotting against you. The world would ensnare you. Death and judgment approach you. It is written in, one of the epistles of Peter. Bear with me, please. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burnt up. Oh, dream not over dry doctrines and empty speculations, so as to be proof against the force of these solemn events and to lose your holy violence. Oh, it was Second Peter, and the following is from chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Foreseeing that all these things shall come to pass, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation, looking for the coming of the day of the Lord? Let me ask the important question, brethren, be not too secure. What is it to be a Christian? How we may our hearts assure? Vain is all our best devotion. If on false foundations built, true religion's more than notion. Something must be known and felt. That was from old-timer William Mason. A reading from Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. The more we know Christ, the more that we shall love him. The more we know of his glorious person as Emmanuel, God with us, the more we shall love him as a suitable and all-sufficient mediator. The more we know of his atoning blood as revealed to and sprinkled upon a guilty conscience, the more we shall love him as having shed that precious blood to redeem us from the lowest hell. The more we know of his righteousness, the more we shall see how adapted it is to our needy, naked condition. And the more we shall love him for having suffered in our place instead, the more we know of his dying love, the more we shall love him for the display of that love. Does not the apostle pray that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge? Ephesians 3, verses 18 through 19. But may I add that the more we know of ourselves, of our desperate case, of our ruined condition, of our miserable state as poor lost sinners, the more we know of the evils of our heart and what we deserve as having broken God's holy law and as having so continually backslidden from him. And the more we see his forbearance and long suffering, his loving kindness and tender pity to us, in spite of all our base deserts and shameful requitals, the more we shall see him in love, see him in to love. I messed that up, friend. Sorry. The more too we know of his grace, the more we shall value it, and the more we know of his glory, the more we shall fall in love with it. Thus, as these precious things are opened up more and more clearly to our spiritual understanding and sealed more powerfully by a divine witness upon our hearts, the more warmly are they embraced in love, and the more is the soul conformed to the divine image. For, as it's written in Colossians 3:10, the new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. To behold this glory is the very blessedness of the gospel and the choicest treasure which God can bestow. As it's written in 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That was from another old timer, J.C. Philpott. rejoicing in imputation. The Apostle Paul and the Psalmist David speak of a blessed man. Blessed means happy. Oh, how happy. The individual who is blessed of God is the one to whom God imputeth righteousness without works. It is the one to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 4, verses 6 through 8, friends. What a great work of God's grace it is when we are made to know the reality of this imputation. In case folks out there listening don't understand what impute means, it's like charged. His righteousness was charged, imputed to our case, our accounts. Hope that helps. It is the only means by which our sin is ever really removed from us, and the only means by which we are ever righteous. Those who do not know the truth of it or do not desire to understand it are those who seek to establish a righteousness of their own before God. Without imputation, there is only condemnation. Imputation involves a real transfer of sin to another. And please look up Isaiah 53:6. And the one to whom it is transferred assumes the full responsibility of it. All sins, past, present, and future, of God's elect saints were imputed or transferred to Christ. Let me read that again, because this is an aspect of the everlasting gospel that very few pastors even preach about. Maybe they're terrified of it, or they don't believe it. I don't know. I'm going to say that again, friends. All sins of God's elect saints were imputed or transferred to Christ Jesus. He, in his death, assumed the full responsibility and therefore suffered the full penalty of it. That is his substitutionary death on the cross for his saints. The sinless one who was made sin for us dies in our place. Substitution. His righteousness was imputed to us, and we are made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Paul tells us that God justified Abraham, and he was counted a righteous man by God. How did this sinner Abraham become such before God? He believed God's promise to provide a perfect righteousness for him in one outside of himself. Friends, that one is Christ. But then Paul records the good news. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, meaning Abraham's sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Please see Romans 4, verses 22 through 25. So great and real was the transfer of my sin to Christ and the transfer of his righteousness to me that I can rest, rejoice, and look forward to meeting him as the righteous judge. My sin is gone. He put it away. And my righteousness is perfect. It is his righteousness. I know this because God has declared it in his word and revealed it by his spirit through the gospel. It is his promise, and by God given faith, I believe it. Outstanding message from preacher Gary Shepherd, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, located in Jacksonville, North Carolina, USA. The glorious spectacle of all things done. Faith does not come to Calvary to do anything. It comes to see the glorious spectacle of all things done and to accept this completion without a misgiving as to its efficacy. It listens to the "it is finished" of the sin bearer, the Lord Jesus, and says, "Amen." A very short yet astute message from preacher Horatius Bonar. Faith, dear reader, or in this case, faith, dear listener, is neither encouraged nor discouraged by anything we find in ourselves. It is neither encouraged by our graces nor discouraged by our sinfulness. For faith looks out of self unto another. Nothing will afford such encouragement to believing prayer as a sight of the Lamb on his mediatorial throne. Revelation 5, 6. No matter how desperate may be our case, how often we have failed and fallen, how low we have sunk, it is always the believer's privilege to turn into his Redeemer and say, "Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as is your way unto those that love thy name." Psalm 119, verse 132. Isaiah 3:10. It shall be well with the righteous. In the spiritual things, all your temptations, all your darkness, all your wandering, God will overrule. It shall be well with you, believer. There shall never be a night, but that morning shall come. There shall never be a day of trouble, but there shall be a filling. And there shall never be bringing down, but that he will raise you up again. Let it be either darkness or light, sorrow or grief, night or day, life or death, time or eternity, it shall be well with the righteous. Hallelujah. That was from preacher Scott Richardson, who's with the Master in Paradise as we speak. Such a mystery. True religion is such a mystery. When we think we are faring well, we are often faring ill. When we think we are faring ill, we are often faring well. When we think that now we have got into an easy, smooth, and comfortable path, it is then leading us wrong. When we say the path is so rugged and intricate, we are so perplexed and so little able to see the way that we fear we are out of the track altogether. That is the very time when the Lord is leading us in the right way. That's an interesting statement. So we are not to judge our walk by our flesh, so to speak, but to walk by faith in the Spirit. God help us. It is written in Isaiah 45:22, where our Lord Jesus Christ commands, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else." The Master, Christ Jesus, also says in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Friends, it is imperative that you flee to Christ Jesus today, not tomorrow, for none of us are promised another day on this planet. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ while he may be found, and seek him while he is near. Only by being in Christ, the ark of our salvation, may we be delivered from the fierce wrath of Almighty God, which is coming soon upon the wicked. This about wraps up this broadcast before we get into the remainder on American Vindicta. I trust Almighty God will awaken his sleeping elect and draw multitudes of men, women, and children around the world to his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness. Yehovah Tzidkenu. Bless the name. Baruch Hashem. Holy One of Israel. Hagadosh Yisrael. Hallelujah. If you're a led of the Lord to contribute funds to sponsor future American Vindicta broadcast, or for my own future shortwave world band radio broadcast, then get a hold of Doug. He's got his contact information posted quite clearly. But if any of you folks want to send funds to Worldwide Christian Radio shortwave, just simply go to their website is www.cr.com. It's easy. www.cr.com, and get their physical mailing address to send your donation. Please remember to indicate on the check memo that it's for the storm warning broadcast. Of interest, there are millions and millions of poor folks that don't have modern devices, but they are able to hear gospel messages from Worldwide Christian Radio through inexpensive radios. And I greatly appreciate those of you dear ones. One of the listeners of American Vindicta, a husband and wife, were so kind. They sent a sizable donation. And just in case you're wondering, the radio station charges $40 for 15-minute commercial-free, just so you know. But those of you that have donated, you're propagating Almighty God's everlasting gospel around the world and to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the soon-coming Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings unto those that fear him in his holy name. Talk about a glorious future in Christ Jesus, people. If you'd like to communicate, then please feel free to write. The email address is thelordbemagnified@gmail.com. And please indicate where you're from, what life is like where you live, and how the reception was, if you do happen to listen to this on shortwave. Great is our Lord Jesus Christ, and greatly to be praised. Take heart, friends, our mighty and glorious King of Saints, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and King of Glory is inbound for his afflicted saints. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, I'm reading currently what today's daily devotional is. I'd like to share with you guys. So this is February 14th. The daily devotional read out of the book God is Faithful, wrote by Pastor David Wilkerson. It's titled Strength for the Journey. No one on earth can place you in ministry. You may receive a diploma from a seminary, be ordained by a bishop, or commissioned by a denomination. But the Apostle Paul reveals the only true source of any call to ministry. Quoted, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." That's 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12.
Excellent.
Yeah, before we move on with that, I never thought that I would be doing any type of ministry work.
Sure.
Yeah, never thought this is where the direction of where this was going. Praise God.
I say the same thing for myself, brother. Please continue.
Yeah, man. Praise God. He's in control.
Bam.
You know what I think a lot of times is I see other brethren of ours, other veterans, and the stuff that they're doing on, you know, the social media, YouTube. So few venerate the Lord. So few. And those that do have to be so careful not to get caught up in their own popularity, not to be made into an idol, because people will turn you into idols.
Sure.
You know, not to get too high and mighty for yourself and forget where you came from. And yet, I see it. I see it all the time. I think as we move forward, you know, the time is lessening, Billy, for guys like us to get out there and do this. So I would like to implore anyone out there, you know, the stuff that Billy and I are doing is it's no different than what you guys could be doing on the radio, social media, at home, you know, at a bookstore somewhere, getting groceries, and that is to preach the gospel. That's what we're called to do, preach the gospel, preach the word.
And to provoke one another unto good deeds.
Absolutely.
Love the chief one.
Which is kind of missing right now in this time, if you haven't noticed. Billy, we live in a vile, violent time. Would you say that we're close to the days of Noah?
Oh, I believe we're in them. I do believe we're in them. I won't go into great detail, but what the Bible speaks of a tribulation period of 7 years. I think that is not exactly, it could be symbolic. We see all the warnings from the master, the apostles, the prophets. It's right in our faces. And remember, the Lord Jesus says just three words: watch and pray. So yes, we are, as it was in the days of Noah. We're there, brother, but much more to come.
Yeah, I think the vileness that is going on around the world is beyond what happened in Noah's time.
Sure.
They, as far as we know, they didn't have the technology we did. And I know there's people who can go all Steve Quayle and Tim Albarino on me when I say that and pull up every type of doctor that's out there and, read us really fantastical stories, some historically accurate, some just completely made up. But we have to deal with what we can see. And it is without the Bible, it is hard to imagine we've ever been here before. King Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. So what's going on right now is nothing new. And I just don't think we're at the place where there's going to be, we're not there yet where you had in Babylon the worshiping of Baal and Moloch and Marduk and all these others where they were literally passing children through the fires of Moloch, burning babies in the hands of a brazen altars.
Oh man.
We're not there yet. But man,
Well, we're
we're
doing
so close.
well. Hey, those children were born. We're slaughtering unborn and ripping their limbs apart and crushing their skulls. It's worse today, brother. Hey, let me interject something. I hope you don't lose your vein of thought, but about a week and a half ago, remember a word came to mind, and I understand it now. I think it's Luke 21, where the master is given all the signs of just before his return. And one of those things, I scratched my head up until a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, was Jesus said many will be offended. Dude, that's today. People are offended over anything, everything. Please continue, sir.
Well, I mean, it's we live in a time where men have forgotten what it means to be manly, and guys like us apparently are the enemy. Every time you look in the news, it's always something to do with toxic masculinity. I would think that toxic femininity is what is bringing us down. That's I love how no one says toxic masculinity and like aims it at the children of Ishmael and points it in their direction. Of course, under threat of scimitar or slavery, no one's going to say anything.
Gosh.
Here, Luke 21, things to come. Starting at verse 10, then Jesus told them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be violent earthquakes and in various places, famines and deadly devastation, pestilences, plagues, epidemics. And there will be terrible sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, turning you over to the synagogues and prisons and bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake.
That's right.
Yeah. This will be a time and an opportunity for you to testify about me. Did it say this will be a time and an opportunity for you to rise up and overthrow your government?
Nope.
Did it say this will be a time and an opportunity for you to go and fight or for you to dig down deeper?
Negative.
Yep. So make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. For I will give you skillful words and wisdom, which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute.
Thank
But you
God,
will
what a
be
promise.
Yep. But you will be betrayed and handed over even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be continually hated by everyone because of your association with my name. That's the name of Jesus. But
Amen.
not a hair of your head will perish. By your patient endurance, empowered by the Holy Spirit, you will gain your souls. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by hostile armies, then understand with confident assurance that her complete destruction is near. At that time, those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are inside the city of Jerusalem must get out. And those who are out in the country must not enter the city. For these are the days of for these are days of vengeance, of rendering full justice or satisfaction, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled. Woe to those women who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For great trouble and anguish will be on the land, and wrath and retribution on this people, Israel. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And then we have the return of Christ.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
I was reading in Lamentation, and the five chapters of Lamentations within itself, Hollywood couldn't even come close to making a movie that brutal. So I was reading it, and I was like, why am I being told to read Lamentation right now? I've read it a couple times. I don't like reading it. It's horrific. It's brutal. It's
Indeed.
honest, but listen to chapter 5 of Lamentation, and you guys tell me if you think this sounds like our current predicament. A prayer for mercy. O Lord, remember what has come upon us. Look and see our reproach, our national disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our houses to foreigners. We have become orphans without a father. Our mothers are like widows. We have to pay for our drinking water. Our wood comes to us at a price. Our pursuers are at our necks. We are worn out. There's no rest for us. We have given the hand as a pledge of fidelity and submission to Egypt and Assyria to get enough bread. Our fathers sinned and are no more. It is we who have carried their sin. Servants rule over us. There is no one to rescue us out of their hand. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword of the Arabs in the wilderness who may attack if we go out to harvest the crop. Our skin is as hot as the heat of an oven because of the burning heat of the fever of famine. They ravished the women in Zion, the virgins in the cities of Judah. Princes were hung by their hands. Elders were not respected. Young men worked at the grinding mill, and boys fell staggering under loads of wood. Elders are gone from the gate, young men from their music. The joy of our hearts has ended. Our dancing has been turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Our honor is covered with dust. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes are dim. As for Mount Zion, which lies desolate, foxes and jackals prowl over it. But you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to all generations. Why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us so long? Return us to you, O Lord, so that we may be restored. Renew our
Amen.
days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are exceedingly angry with us. You could go almost verse by verse in chapter 5 of Lamentation, and you could visualize, I don't know, every country in the world right now.
Sure, especially America.
I mean, this one part, our servants rule over us. What are politicians? Servants to the people.
That's right.
What is law enforcement? Servants to the people. What's the military? Servants to the people. The industrial complex, those are servants to the people. And yet you have small groups of people that are supposed to serve the country, serve we the people, protect we the people. And yet we have been forgotten about. Such as it is said, though, woe to us because we've sinned so much. I mean, when's the last time someone sat there and said, our father's sin is still carrying us? It is we who carried their sin. It's we who continue sinning. It's we who continue the propagation of sinning, of taking prayer out of the school, homosexualizing everything, turning everything that was normal into reprobatism, if that's even a word. We have capitulated, Billy, to our masters without even so much as a fight, not a sword swing. And we just capitulated. We laid it down. We laid down our own birthright like Esau for what? A few constitutional rights to be left alone. And yet we're taxed out of our house and hold. We're taxed out of our house and home. We are abused by this government all the day long, spied upon. And now the government dares say that it's we, the people, who are the enemies of the government. You know what that tells me? It's not that we're the enemies of the government. We are the enemies of a few people who wish to remain in power, and they are afraid of us. That's what it tells me, Billy.
Man, sign of the times. It's a zeitgeist. Everything is flipped, and it is the Lord. Let him do it seemeth him right. And then we talked earlier about two verses in Jeremiah 51, verse 1 and 2. And those of you who listen to Doug and I occasionally, you've probably heard us talk about how the prophecies regarding Babylon, we believe they're dually fulfilled. Ancient Babylon, and I am of the understanding that America is modern day Babylon. So, verse 1 and 2 of chapter 51, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind, and will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. Against Babylon around about fanners. It means a foreigner, strange, profane, that shall fan her, and that means to toss about by implication, to diffuse, winnow, cast away, compass around about, disperse. It's not good. It's happening today. The Lord is sending fanners upon America, and it's happening in many other countries. You all know that. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, chapter 51 of Jeremiah, it's talking about Chaldea, the Chaldeans. If I'm correct, Chaldea is Iraq all the way out to the, is that the Arab Sea? From, I think Chaldea is Iraq from more or less southern western Iraq all the way down to the coastline. And if you continue to read verse 3, do not let him, the Chaldean defender, who bends his bow, bend it. nor let him rise up in his coat of armor. So don't spare her young men. Devote her entire army to destruction. They shall fall down dead in the land of the Chaldeans and wounded in her streets.
Man.
If you want an idea of what that looks like, I was there for it. It was the invasion of Iraq.
Never thought of that, brother.
Yeah, you know, we play with this aspect. Billy, you and I and our brother Damus was talking about this on the way back from Tennessee this weekend as we were doing our training, and which the next upcoming training is March 14th. Today's February 14th, so the next upcoming training is March 14th. You can find that over at ReadyMade Resources and VindictaSolutions.com. But here we are. We're talking about, you know, the Senate bill that wants to get rid of the ability for civilians to train people or to train with groups of people, and make it illegal if you train with three people or more, or make it illegal for people like me to train others if I'm not on the approved list. And then we have this sheriff who comes out and says, you know, the Sheriff's Committee of America, all 3,300 sheriffs, we go out, we went to D.C. We talked to Chris Wray, the head of the FBI, who's not a good guy. And he's like, you know, I think it's so the security matter is so high that I must come out and tell everybody. This was 2 days after he comes back from D.C. And more or less,
big sheriff's conference. Go ahead.
Yeah, more or less, the sheriff from Ohio, I must have had 20, 30, 40 people email me this or text me this sheriff and what he was saying. And a lot of people said, hey, Doug, remember how a few days ago you were talking about, you know, the Senate bill that wants to get rid of your ability to train people? Well, listen to this. And so I'm listening to this guy, and he's not saying, Billy, you know, he's not saying anything new. We've known a lot of this stuff. You talked about this stuff with your sheriffs back in the 90s and early 2000s, as I have been briefed on this since the 2000s till, you know, recently.
Right.
So there wasn't much new. We're being hacked every day, and the potential for a terrorist attack is, you know, phenomenal. And he's saying that right now there's more red flags for a terror attack now than there was before 9/11. Man, they told us that 5 years ago. You know, wow. Here's my jaded response to that. Here's a few things. It's a scare tactic.
Thinking the same thing.
They want to scare the hell out of people. Yep. And what a good year for it to happen. There's more red flags now than ever. Then tell us who the red flags are. Because according to the Justice Department and to the FBI and maybe some of our other intel agencies, it's we the people who are on those lists.
Terrible. You know,
if it was the terrorists, then tell us it's the terrorists. Tell us it's the Islamic terror. Tell us it's the communists. Tell us it's the Russians. But they don't. They just throw this thing out there. You know, oh, yeah, it's all these people. So, you know, moving forward, he mentions a few things that we talk about quite a bit. And I'll bring this up because it is worth always bringing it up. The biggest threat currently that we consider is a attack on the grid via a cyber attack. Right now, they're blaming it on China. Hey, man, you got plenty of people here in the United States who hack into stuff all the time for a zero-sum game, which is more or less you have a group of cyber terrorists is one word that I've heard before. But hackers will hack into the mainframe of some sort of a business, or they'll hack somebody's profile, social media that's real popular, and they'll say, I'm going to release all this information, or I'm going to delete all this information if you don't give me X amount of dollars and X amount of time, clock's ticking. And so, you know, if you went to the FBI with stuff like this, they'll tell you don't pay it. And because a lot of the stuff that gets released is pertinent information or very personal information, people just end up paying it. The government's not going to help you out at all. And so that's what he's saying is the biggest threat. He gave some accounts of how, the his county was being hacked by China. Here's some of the things that he said that I thought were notable. And it's not like I haven't heard this before. It's not like any of you people haven't heard this before. But he said, when the grid goes down, the army's not coming. The National Guard's not coming for you. Law enforcement is your last line of defense, and they'll probably be busy. So you need to be trained, and they're offering to train so many thousands of people a year, and to better have their people well equipped. And the training company's coming out of Texas A&M. I know who it is.
That's outstanding.
Well, yeah, it's the FBI.
I had this conversation with the current sheriff and the sheriff before him about the need for doing this within our county, and went in one ear and out the other. But maybe from this one sheriff that you're talking about that I saw also, I'm sure that's going to spread like a wildfire to all the rest of the sheriffs and perhaps police chiefs, and I hope it deeply affects and awakens the state police and the highway patrol, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, it's most like it's alert, and if it's the law enforcement training team out of alert, the FBI more or less had that made. Alert is a very good training area. For the life of me, I don't know why your local law enforcement does not train civilians in firearms and tactics. I can see the competing understanding as to why you don't do it, but man, you can go on freaking YouTube and you can look up tactics. So, that's kind of an irrelevant idea. If anything, like if we had a perfect world, the law enforcement would be right in line with like helping to train militias or a posse. Then that make kind of sense. That makes sense to me.
Of course it
But once
does.
again, with the amount of distrust that there is and the amount of corruption that there is in law enforcement and the government currently, which is not every single person, but it's enough to be staggering. I can see why people would completely distrust it. Here's the other thing is that it's not just a few days ago before this guy talks. The sheriff comes out and talks about it, that you have a Senate bill that says paramilitary training is going to be illegal, militia trainings are going to be illegal, militias are going to be illegal. And then here comes a sheriff who says, by the way, here to scare the hell out of you, grid down, cyber attack, nobody's coming for you. Come to the sheriff's, office and we'll train you. Is that going to spread across the United States, where you'll have the approved areas to go and get your approved training? Because if so, then it's fulfilling what that bill said. And if so, then my conspiratorial brain wasn't wrong. This sheriff's still an elected official, right? I didn't hear him
Yes.
coming out and complaining about how much targeting the FBI was doing on January 6th and so on and so forth. He only talked about the talking points that he, me personally, was told to talk about. Now, if he is very sincere, and I'm not saying anything good, right, or wrong about this sheriff, I don't know the man. I'm not judging the man. I hope he's actually very good. He's been reelected 5 times, so he must be worth a dang. But, take into consideration the signs and the times. You have a government that is so active in disarming the people. They don't want you to train. They don't want you to, let me name some things the government doesn't want you to have, Billy. They don't want you to have guns, suppressors, ammunition, body armor, night vision. thermal cameras. They want to ban thermal cameras for public use. They don't want you to train together. They don't want you to have machine guns. They don't want you to have tanks and rocket launchers.
High
Next, you won't
capacity
have
magazines.
cars. Oh yeah. Large capacity magazines, large caliber ammunition. So, me personally, with this kind of government and all the spying that they did on the American people, all the spying that they did, and literally blackballing Alex Jones, targeting Donald Trump, targeting Republicans and conservatives. When you're in the political limelight, man, that you just better expect that to happen, especially if you're going to be saying some crazy stuff against a government that's already kind of tyrannical and communist mindset.
Oh, and
But
now they're labeling Tucker Carlson as a terrorist.
oh, of course, yeah. And now we have Tucker's being labeled. So there's the media. The media gets labeled as well because it's not an approved media. And then we have the targeting of Christians, where the FBI was targeting Catholics. And that's kind of funny to me because, like, the Catholics at this rate are so lax in their theocracy that it doesn't make sense for why the FBI would target and monitor Catholics. But, whatever. And that's not all Catholics, by the way. But when they're going after men and women who are praying calmly in front of a door at a Planned Parenthood, and those guys just got, I believe it's between 6 to 9 years in federal prison for
My goodness.
praying. 6 to 9 years federal prison for praying. And the FBI had their hand in that. The Department of Justice had their hand in that. And I'll toot my own little freaking horn here. But yet, when me and my boys were out in Portland rocking and rolling, fighting domestic terrorism for sometimes 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, for almost an entire damn year, we had over 300 officers that were hurt during this operation. Two officers died during this operation, which your government will never talk about that. And all the firebombs they've thrown at us, the projectiles they hit us with, the types of gas that they hit us with, like actual little gas, like actual flammable materials. And here we are using well-measured tactics, pepper spray, OC spray, CS gas, coughing agent as an irritant. And yet these people are throwing Molotov cocktails at us. They are literally harassing the entire populace that they live in to the point that those people were terrorized. Then you had Chad, CHOP, whatever the hell it was called, where they took over an entire area and said, this is no longer a constitutional zone. It's no longer the United States. You allowed that to happen. And yet you'll go and you'll arrest some people that were praying that the mother would not go through with the abortion.
It's madness.
Madness. Madness. Anguish is
Total.
what it is. It's agony.
Yes, it is.
One of these days, like in the book of Jeremiah, behold, a people is coming from the north, a great nation, many kings will be stirring from the remote parts of the earth. They seize their bow and spear. They are cruel and have no compassion. They sound like the roaring of the sea. They ride on horses, every man equipped like a man ready for battle against you, O daughter of Babylon. One day, because our sin is so great, the master himself has to come back down to Sodom and Gomorrah and cast judgment on there again. But I ask you, how many Abrahams are out there pleading, Lord, I am but a servant. I am but ash and dust, but I beg you, if you go to Portland and you find at least 50 righteous people, will you spare that city? If you go to Washington, D.C., and you find at least 50 righteous people, will you spare that city? Or Atlanta, or Dallas, or El Paso, or Houston? How many people will get caught up in the midst of the fire and brimstone coming down upon them because the sin of the leaders is so great. The sin of the people has become so intoxicating that the Lord himself says, I have to come down and deal with this again. We're not ready. We're not ready. There was just a shooting at Joel Osteen's church. That man could have cared less. Of course, if you're going to Joel Osteen's church, you're not. I don't think your discernment is working.
Man, I subscribe to Alerts USA. I know the owner, and his biggest customer base is federal government, DOD, etc. And I'll read, there were four shooting incidents, and it started, let's see. Okay, Monday the 12th, six people, or at least six people, were shot at Mount Eden Avenue subway station in the Bronx, New York City. At the time of this reporting, the shooters remained at large. And then the next day, Tuesday the 13th, just like you said, it was a agency response to gunfire at so-called Lakewood Church in Houston. And then Wednesday at 2:55 p.m. Eastern, multi-agency response to reports of gunfire in Gardens Mall, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. And then 15 minutes later, multiple reports of gunfire at Union Station in Kansas City, Missouri, during the Super Bowl victory parade for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep, there was one person that died and 10 others that were injured during that shooting.
Roger, so this is I believe, and I think you and many of our dear friends listening, we strongly suspect that these are orchestrated events from bad actors. Anyway, we don't need to go into detail on that. It's terrible.
Yeah, you got New York City who their police officers are being attacked literally every day now by illegal people that are over here that are criminals that are being arrested again and again. They're caught robbing, raping, murdering. They've ganged up. One of the worst videos that I've seen so far was just a random woman who's walking down the down one of the streets. In the city, and like when I was stationed in Philadelphia and New Jersey, I've been to New York and I know these areas pretty well, so like it's surreal seeing it again. And she's just walking, Billy. Here comes a dude on a motorcycle or dirt bike or moped or whatever, and a guy is riding on the back of it. And snags her by the hair and just drags her down the street, around buildings, lets her go, and she just gets wishboned by this freaking the parking meter. Motorhome got parking meters everywhere. Nothing really nothing's done about it. Listen, this is the House Intelligence Committee Chairman Turner, who made a statement on serious national security threat. House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence Chairman Mike Turner from Ohio issued the following statement. This is from today, as far as I know. Today, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence has made available to all members of Congress information concerning a serious national security threat. Quote, I am requesting that President Biden declassify all information relating to this threat so that Congress, the administration, and our allies can openly discuss these actions necessary to respond to the threat. Now, what they're talking about is, and once again, it doesn't go into anything further just yet. There may be other things out there, but two things is being talked about. One, and this is a from a leaked conversation with a Pentagon official to a reporter, that apparently the Pentagon official says that the threat has to do with outer space and with Russia, with the Russian capability. So if we're talking about satellites, if we're talking about hypersonic missiles, It'd be nice to know. It'd be nice to know why all of a sudden there's an uptick in this word, national security threat and emergencies and seriousness and all these words that they're using, all these innuendos. What's going on? It'd be nice to know. And quite frankly, I'm not surprised. Here it is. It's 2024. It's election cycle year. Donald Trump's the biggest threat in the world to these people, whatever. But there's something bad enough, Billy, that's being planned that either war is going to get started in America, or it'll be the next Disease X, it'll be the Civil War, or it'll be World War III. I mean, that's the only way I can view this rationally and look up the materials on it and say, okay, like stars are starting to align now. What do you think about it, man? We only got a couple minutes left.
It could be all at once. Everything you just mentioned, it'll be a whirlwind of many, many factors. Thanks for bringing some of those topics up.
Yeah, man. Pray for peace for Israel. It is always good to bless Israel and to ask for a blessing for the people of Israel and to support them. Doesn't mean you have to financially support them. You can support them with your prayers, or spreading the gospel to them.
Exactly.
But pray for Israel. We're commanded by the Lord to pray for Israel. Pray for our nation. So many people right now, they're so disgusted with the way America acts that they say, I don't want to pray for this nation. We're damned. We're Babylon. We're going to hell no matter what. We're going to get invaded. We're going to be destroyed. Probably the Antichrist is going to be here in America. Not true. It's going to be in Israel. But I get it. You're disgusted. You're discouraged. You're downtrodden. Lift up your eyes. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Have a joyful tone in your voice. We are part of a kingdom. Our king is coming. My king is coming. We have work to do. Don't drop your sword yet. Don't beat it into plowshares yet. The work is not done. The work is not done. So pray for this nation. Pray for your families. Pray with your children and get trained while it's still legally available to you. We love you. Billy, thank you so much for coming on with us as always, brother.
Love you, brother. Love to our dear friends out there.
Yeah, man. The grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you.
Amen.
Amen. We'll see you next time. Stay frosty.
See ya.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath.
For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.